الجلال والإكرام أنت المقصد.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Our topic today is on inheritance. The date today is the 6th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 1st of December, 2022. We welcome our Honorable Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mama, just speak but loud, yeah. I'm in Denhauser. So, yeah, you know, we're a little bit fast. So, just speak much louder.
Okay. Mufti Saab, before we begin the program, can Mufti Saab give us feedback on your trip?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasooli al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, I left land yesterday at around 20 past 12 or so. Read Zohar Salat Day in Heidelberg. And mashallah, we made it for Jamaat, and my student Hafiz Anwar Pochi came, and mashallah from Nigel, and then we left from there, we went to the graveyard in Heidelberg, my parents' grave, my brother's grave, and so forth, and then mashallah, right till Majuba, everything was fine, and I sat at the back, you know, so I could sleep. Then all the potholes and all the trucks and all that, mashallah, then we reached the Freyheit, about 5:30, that was a town. And then by the time we reached Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Katwara's madrasa, it was around 4:45. So mashallah, Mawlana Ahmed, Mawlana Masihullah, Mawlana Fasihullah, Hafiz Ali, all the brothers were there. And then we read Asr Salat and so forth. And then we had tea and then had to prepare for the program there in the town masjid, Masjid Abu Huraira. Mashallah, the masjid was packed to capacity. It was the annual jalsa for the students and it was very good. So we spoke about the Quran Sharif and the importance of it and history. And then mashallah, the Imam there, Mawlana Ibrahim Rawat, he reached very well. And then we had our supper there and so forth. And then this morning, mashallah, we did a program with Mawlana Arafat from Freyheit. And then mashallah, we had a program there for the students in the madrasa. And there in Freyheit, Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Katwara's madrasa. And then we went to the Qabr also. The six people are buried there, Hazrat Mawlana. Mawlana Masihullah, you know, his son also passed away, Mawlana Imdadullah, and his daughter-in-law. They were just married for 2 months or so. And someone, two students. So, and then we just came now, 1 minute ago to Denhauser. So your timing is perfect. Allah Jalla will accept it. Our program for today is after Zohar, a program here in Denhauser. I mean, the masjid now, very beautiful, they refurbished it. And Allah Ta'ala reward them, mashallah, all the trustees and all the imams and the donors. And this was a short program, inshallah. And then after Maghrib is the main program, is a Hif Jalsa. Then tonight after Isha, we'll go to Dundee and then we go to Jumma there. And inshallah, in the evening, we'll go to the Newcastle. And then I got a program there Friday night in Masjid al-Siddiq. And that is in Paradise in Newcastle. And then Saturday, Sunday is the Darul Jalsa. So that is our program, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, coming to our topic of inheritance, why is there so much of emphasis on inheritance?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasooli al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know there are two parts. One, we are alive. We are alive, alhamdulillah, you alive. And we see that what happens to human beings. Almighty Allah speaks of me and you and all humanity, that humanity is such that 90%, 95% are unloyal, ungrateful, unthankful to Almighty Allah. In chapter 100, Surah Al-Adiyat, you read the first 5 verses. Almighty Allah speaks about the loyalty of the horses to Allah, to their master, to their owner, manager. then me and you, Allah juxtaposes it, that you human being, what do? Allah gave us everything. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُوتِ بے شک انسان اپنے رب کے بہت ہی ناشکر ہے. He is very, very ungrateful. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٍ. And he bear testimony to it. The more Allah gives us, 80-90% of us, we become more brazen in committing vices and sins, Allah forbid. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. So why is this ingratitude, unthankfulness? Because the excessive love for wealth. Now, you know, in Afrikaans, they got a wonderful saying, Yen manse dwert is anan manse brood. My brother here, Hafiz Anwar Pochi, so mashallah, he studied in Darum, Newcastle, 81-82. And mashallah, his son is also Hafiz. So I see he's excellent in Afrikaans. You know, I hear him speaking to the Buddha and so forth while, you know, we're traveling. So I told him also, Hafizab, you brought Afrikaans, savor Afrikaans, you know, very good. So in Afrikaans, they say, en mans a dood, ander mans a brood. One person dies and other person inherits. Now you see all the problems already. So Almighty Allah gave us a system of inheritance. That what Allah says, fariidatan min Allah, that this is decreed, ordained, prescribed by Almighty Allah. What Allah says, nasibam mafrooda, the shares are fixed and appointed by Almighty Allah. No government, no Maulana, no Mufti, no Grand Mufti can bring any amendments to this constitution. And remember, one non-Muslim professor, he said, when I just looked at these verses and he embraced Islam, in 4 or 5 verses, Allah Jalla Wala explained the whole of inheritance. Open Surah, Nisa Surah 4, and verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and open the last verses or last one verse of Surah Nisa, Surah 4, and there Allah mentions, and you find the whole guidelines of inheritance. And this is the only place in Islam where the milkiyat is ijbari, meaning that definitely you are made the owner. Even if you say you don't want it, I pass away, I have a son, daughter, my son says he doesn't want, he still be the owner. He must say that, okay, I'm taking it and giving it to somebody, to his sister or to his mother or ABC, XYZ. And then we must remember in Islam, we have a wonderful understanding of this, that number one, when a person passes away, then first is burial, funeral expenses. So that must be done immediately. And thereafter, the deaths of the deceased. You see, we live in a secular and capitalistic society. So what does secularism do? It promotes a godless society. It says religion is just a private matter. You know, you must practice in your house. Don't come speak of religion. So that is secularism. It's shaitaniyat, you know. And remember, that is a satanic system. And capitalism, they will glorify debts. You don't see people just swiping. Today is the 1st of December. Just see, people just swiping their credit card, debit card, all these cards of theirs. Then January comes, they are crying, you know. So why? Because, you must remember, they get into the debt trap. So Islam says the person passed away, so you must pay the debts. If you don't pay the debts, you can't go Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tukra anhu. Hadith in Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad. No person enters Jannah and paradise unless their debts are paid. Now, here it is an interesting discussion. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, only says the debts refer to what we owe to Tom, Dick, and Harry, Tom, Dick, and Mary, what we owe to people, Muslim, non-Muslim. Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, majority says no. That debts has a very broad connotation. It refers to the debts you owe to people and what you owe to Almighty Allah. When you open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْفَى. The debts of Allah are more deserving to be paid. So you have to include all the debts, outstanding zakat, outstanding sadaqatul fitr, fitra, all that you have to include. According to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, whether the person mention it in the will or not, so automatically it will fall in category 2. Then you have wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs. And the maximum amount is 1/3. So remember, the Hanafis will say that that what you owe to people and all to Allah Ta'ala, not people, that will be category 2. Category 3, Hanafis say the zakat outstanding or hajj is outstanding or this is outstanding, all that will come in category 3. So the majority scholars say no, in category 2, as far as the debts of Allah Ta'ala go. And then you can bequeath even for a non-Muslim. That is the beauty of Islam. Remember that sometimes we're living next to non-Muslims, you know, good neighbors, they help us out many a time. So you want to bequeath 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, whatever, as long as it doesn't exceed more than 1/3 of the net estate. And then you come to the shares of the heirs. And here, 3 points I have to make before we go to the next question. Remember, the will has to be done immediately. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif Abu Dawood, yabitu laylatayn illa wa wasiyatu maktubatun indahu, that the person must not even allow 2 nights to pass, but the final will and the last will should be written, everything already. So imagine we are allowing 20, 40, 60, 70 years and still our will is not ready. That's a major sin. You know, justice delayed is justice denied. Second one is this, the will must be done Islamically. Always remember that. Not willy-nilly. And Allah Ta'ala in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 13, 14, mentions both scenarios. We do it correctly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. And we do it unilaterally as we want to, according to our warm senses and desires. Surah 4, verse 14. Listen to the verse and listen to the wa'id and warning. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ, and they go beyond the limit, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, such a person, remember, Almighty Allah will dispatch him to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابُ مُهِينَ, عَذَابِ مُهِينَ normally is mentioned for non-Muslims, but here Allah is speaking about Muslims also. That a humiliating, disgraceful punishment awaits him. And the third point in our South African context, remember that when you register your marriage, you know, then you must register ANC, nothing to do with the political party, anti-nuptial contract, and without excluding the accrual system. So what is the benefit of that? So when you draw up the Islamic world, then nobody can contest it, there won't be problems and so forth. So these are the basic things every Muslim should know. And wherever you are in today's world, Arab countries, Muslim countries, or you must remember non-Muslim countries, we all must try and draw up our world immediately, because 99% of the countries don't have Sharia law. So if you pass away intestate means without a will, then remember, it will just go according to the law of the land. And that is haram, because it wouldn't be according to the Sharia, according to the Quran Sharif. Allah has mentioned the shares and highlighted it in the noble Quran. And Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborated, expounded on it in the Sunnah Mubarakah.
Mufti Sahib, coming to the next question, is who are those people who will not inherit?
Remember that there are certain people must inherit and there are certain people will not inherit. For example, non-Muslims will not inherit. We must not confuse issues here. Say, for example, I told you now, wasiyah. Wasiyah is you bequeath. So that is called wasiyah for your neighbor or your friend or whatever, or your business partner, if you're non-Muslim. So wasiyah, to bequeath for them up to 1/3, that is permissible. But inheritance, the father passes away, the mother passes away, the child, the children are non-Muslim, they embrace Islam long time ago, but the children did not embrace Islam. So it's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Tirmidhi, La yarithul muslimul kafir, wal kafirul muslim. A non-Muslim will not inherit from a Muslim, and a Muslim will not inherit from a non-Muslim. So both ways it works. And there's ijma on that issue there. There's consensus, what we'll call, according to the Maliki, Shafi'is, Hanafis, Hanbalis, all of them, you must remember. So that is what they agree on. So that is one person will not inherit. So we need to be clear on that issue there as well. Then the second issue we must be clear about, a murtad, Allah forbid, today how many people are exiting Islam, leaving Islam, and so forth and so on. So Allah forbid, we must always make dua, we live with Iman and pass away with Iman. Surah 3, Surah Ali Imran, and verse 8, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Oh, beloved Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated after you have given us the guidance, and grant us from your side, Ya Allah, the special, special mercy. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا, to envelop us in the Kantal Wahab, you are the best of giver. And then to pass away on Iman and Islam, always read Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 101. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Ya Allah, let me pass away with Iman and Islam and unite me with a pious and devout servant. You know the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. A person is born a Muslim. A person embraces Islam. Allah forbid, he's sane and mature. He denounces Islam. So the hadith tells us in Bukhari Sharif, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَقْتُلُوهُ. So then the capital punishment, the death penalty will be applicable. There's different issue. The Muslim countries, Arab countries don't practice on it. But that is the Sharia. So that person, murtad, apostate, renegade, who went against Islam and he left and exited Islam, will not inherit. Likewise, al-qatilu la yirithu, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. A person murdered the person from whom he's going to inherit. This person can't wait for his father or mother to pass away. And they got a big life insurance. Life insurance is haram. So remember, the only portion that will come into the estate is what premiums was paid. But now that person can't wait to get his hands on the budal. 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. You know today how big amounts it are. So he just shot his father, Allah forbid. And this thing happens like this sometimes, Allah forbid. Shoots his mother, Allah forbid. So in a case like that, so when you kill the person that is from whom you're going to inherit, then remember that you will not inherit once it's proven that you are guilty. Then there's long, big discussion which type of qatl is meant, which type of murder, homicide is meant. So all agree, if it is qatlul amad, premeditated murder, then remember that you will not inherit. But you know the Shafi'is, Imam Shafi said that fi hadhihi al-masla, that he went to the other extreme, you know. Extreme means that he included, he said, say for example, you're driving, and now you I want to avoid a pothole. You know, so many potholes there. And Allah forbid that you now met up with the opposite car, head-on collision, and some people died, your father, mother, wife, you won't inherit from them. Because why? You will be considered the qatil. So you call that qatil bisabab. So Imam Shafi is very strict on that masla there. So the point I'm making now, there's details you have to do, but basically we must know, a Muslim, non-Muslim, they don't inherit from one another. A murtad also, he won't inherit. We won't inherit from him and so forth. And Hanafi say, if the murtad passes away, only Hanafi say, then whatever his income was whilst he was Muslim, so that portion you will inherit. And Badal Irtidat, after he became apostate and so forth, so that portion obviously you will not inherit. But majority scholars say you inherit zero and nothing. And then I told you about the murderer and so forth. And then another person will not inherit also his slaves. You must remember, because slaves, la yamliku wa la yumallik, they don't have the capacity to own something. But that was in those days, you know, when they had slaves. And that today we don't really have what we call a shari'i slave. You know, slaves that are, you must remember, the slaves, what Islam calls slaves and so so forth. So these are the basic rules that people will not inherit and so forth. So that is very, very important, that we must ensure that the people who are inheriting from us must be Muslim and, you know, not the murderer and so forth and so on.
If it's up on the other end, who must inherit?
Yes, you see, now, for example, I made a statement that the person must ensure that the murderer must not inherit. But how will he know? He passed away. So remember, therefore, you must have an executor. So the executor is called the wasi. So his function is this, that you must remember what he does, that he must ensure that first the burial expenses, the debts of the deceased, and the wasiyah, all is done according to Sharia, according to the will, provided that the will is also according to Sharia, and for the shares of the heirs. So all that he must ensure that is done, so he must oversee everything, and he must consult with the heirs and so forth. So that's his main function. And now, who are the people that must inherit? First of all, we must understand what is asbabul irth, you know, what are the causes for inheriting and so forth and so on. So remember that the reasons for inheriting are, number one, nasab, blood relationship. And second one is that ziwaj, marriage. So now take that, a person passes away. So he or she passed away, Allah grant them Jannah to those. So the parents are alive. So the mother, father, we're speaking of biological parents. Step parents don't inherit, foster parents don't inherit, adopted parents don't inherit. You know, that's a good question we can discuss. That what happens in the case of adopted children after the break, inshallah, we can discuss that also. So remember that we're speaking of biological parents who are Muslims, so they must inherit. So that's two, father, mother. And then when the father, mother, parents, both or one of them pass away, so the children must inherit, son and daughter. Again, same thing. When we say son and daughter must inherit, it means your biological son, your biological daughter. Not adopted son, adopted daughter, not stepson, stepdaughter, not foster son, foster daughter. They don't inherit. You want to give them something, so go to number three, wasiya, and you bequeath for them, and then you can do that. For example, adopted children and so forth. So that is a very important one. So how many we got there? Four already. We got abawan, we got parents, and we got the waladan, and that is the children. Son and daughter. And then we'll have the zawj. Zawj, zawja. So the husband passes away, the wife or wives will inherit. So remember that. And if the wife passes away, the husband will inherit. Let's just take this one. It's very interesting. So we'll just explain to them. Say the wife passes away. So if she has a child or children from this current husband or previous husband, so then the husband will inherit 25%. And if she doesn't have any children, nor from him, nor any previous husband, or she was not married before, so then the husband inherits 50%. So ahadu zawjain, the surviving spouse must inherit. These five people must inherit. Parents, children, surviving spouse. So I gave you now how it will work when the wife passes away. Either the husband gets 25% if she is survived by a child, a son or daughter, and remember, the husband is there, so 25%. And if there's no children, then 50% for the husband. So now we take the opposite way. So remember, the husband passes away. So it is no children. So I die now, there's no children. So wife will inherit, so 25%. So now if there's a child, children, the husband's child, children, then from this wife or any wife, whether the wife is alive or dead or whatever, so then the wife will inherit 12.5%. So let's say there are two wives. So they will inherit 6.25, 6.25. So all this must be made clear. So people today, how many examples we know that the mother, now she's alive. And the husband got married to another wife also. The first wife is there, and then he got married to second wife. But the children are all from the first wife. So what they did, they just marginalized, sidelined, the second one, the bima, the stepmother. And they call, you know, in our level, Gujarati, Surti, all, they say bima, the other mother. You see, in Urdu, sotelima, you know, they're the stepmother. So remember that. So they just marginalize us there, and they deprive her, basically. I don't say in all cases, but in many, many cases, this is absolutely haram. And the people who do this go straight to Jahannam. Surah 4, verse 14. So we must ensure, and that's why the role of the executor is so important. And Islamically also, the executor can charge. Today, they're going, there's different thing. We executor this one. We don't charge. We just make fi sabilillah. But people are entitled to charge for all this. Remember that their time and their effort and so forth. Some people charge 1%, some charge 2, some charge 2.5, 3.5. So that is like the going rate nowadays. So all these are factors that we must know. And then, inshallah, when the person passes away, then there's no fighting and arguing. Otherwise, today, that the father passes away, there's one house or there's one smart car or one good business flourishing. And now everybody is fighting for that and so forth and so on. So then there are many, many fights and all that. So therefore, I always say that when we have to look at inheritance, then there also, how we say in the bliss of marriage, that hamara kaam jorna hai, not get torna. Our aim must be that we bring unity and unite the family, not we take our share and all that, and the whole family now is fragmented and disintegrated, and now they're not speaking to one another. And we saw all examples like this already in our life, you know. So may Almighty Allah make it easy for all parties concerned.
Inshallah, we will take our break now and return with Mufti Saab after this break.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Saab, the next question is, what happens to the adopted children?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We must remember that regarding adopted children, there are three different issues. Take my case, it's a perfect example. You married 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever. And now you want to adopt a baby, a child or something. So number one, we must remember, Quran Sharif is teaching us chapter 33, verse number 5. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu indallah. You must call the adopted children by the biological father's name. Today what we find in our Muslim society, 80-90% of the time, absolutely haram and definitely not permissible. They register the child according to the adopted parent, that the adopted father's name or adopted father's surname, all like that. So that is haram totally. And Quran is very clear in Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 5. So, sometimes, because you adopt, then the social workers or the orphanage or whatever, they don't tell you who the biological father is by law or whatever. So what happens in a case like that? So Quran gives the answer. فَإِن لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If you don't know who the biological father is, then remember فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, that they are your brothers in religion. So you will say, for example, there's Yusuf, the son's name, Yusuf Islam or Zainab Islam, words like that you can use. So that is very important to remember. Then number two, regarding inheritance, remember that those people who have registered their adopted children by their name, the adopted father's name or surname, the hadith is mentioned, Mustafa Ahmad and other compilations, man intasaba ila ghayri abi, that you went and you made your lineage to someone else besides your biological father, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. So such people are cursed by Almighty Allah, and they are cursed by the angels and people. So that person is mal'oon or mal'oona, boy or girl, male or female. We need to understand the consequences. Second one will be the inheritance. So I told you about wasiya. So you, the adopted father, adopted mother, you love this child, you brought the child up. So fine, the child will not inherit. To circumvent it and solve the problem, just make wasiya for the child up to 1/3. That is permissible, so that it can be solved very easily. The third issue is about hijab and parda. So now me and my wife, we adopted a baby girl, and the child was 1 week old, 1 month old, 7 months, 1 year old. So in a case like that, now if the child grows up 8, 9, 10 years old, then between me and her, there will be parda and hijab of the baby boy. So when he grows up 10, 11, 12 years old, so between him and my wife, there will be hijab parda. So to solve that problem, when you adopt a baby, a child, who is 6 months old, 6 days old, 1 year old, you know the maximum period of breastfeeding is 2 lunar years. So then that person there, that adopted couple, so that lady there, she can then take some medication, and in that way she can breastfeed that baby there. So once she breastfeeds the baby, she becomes a foster mother and adopted mother. So then the laws of hijab parda will fall away. Then here is another discussion which is very important. The Hanafis and Malikis say, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِ أَرْضَعَنَكُمْ, and your mothers who breastfed you, so they will be become, you are you the son, and that become the mahram for them and so forth. Meaning now the laws of parda will fall away. But you don't have to breastfeed for 5 times, 10 times, just even little bit also, provided that the baby, the boy, girl is less than 2 years old, 6 months old, 1 year old, 1.5 year old. That is the Hanafis and Malikis, قَلِيلُهُ وَكَثِيرُهُ sawa. That even if it is few drops also, or 1 liter or whatever, so remember that is fine and it will be sufficient. You'll be classified as the foster parents. According to the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis and them, so remember the Shafi'is and Hanbalis, they say, no. You must breastfeed 5 different times. So remember 5 different occasions, you know, Khamsu Rada'atin, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and so forth. Then you will become the foster mother. So if it is just few drops and so forth, then you don't become the foster mother. So all this you must take into cognizance, remember that. So once you breastfeed and so forth, then you will become the foster mother with this ikhtilaf and difference of opinion that I just mentioned now. So all of you who adopted children or want to adopt, you must take into consideration these 3 issues. The surname of the baby, it must be, as I explained, that the biological father, or if you don't know, then just say Islam or something like that. So you can't put on your name. Your name is totally haram. That is ikhtilatul ansab. You are now adulterating the lineages, which Islam considers to be a major, major sin, and the people who do so are cursed by Allah Ta'ala and the angels and people. And then inheritance, I told you, you just make wasiya. And regarding hijab and parda, there also you can circumvent it, solve it, and you just remember, breastfeed the baby. Tell your wife or so, they must breastfeed, and in that way there, the problem will be solved.
Mufti Saab, just to understand this correctly, if a child breastfeeds, that does not affect the inheritance.
So you must remember, inheritance, they don't inherit. As I mentioned just now, foster father, foster mother, foster child, they don't inherit. You must remember that. So that the fostering and that the breastfeeding will come from the mother's side, this adopted mother, she becomes the murdi'ah. And the child is the radiyah. So this will not impact, that will not make them an heir. So remember that the inheritance, there's still no inheritance for them. You will just be the one too, you can bequeath for them, but no inheritance for stepchildren, foster children, adopted children.
Mufti Saab, after a person passes away, the family members get together, the heirs, and they discuss and they agree that we'll all take equal amounts. Is this permissible?
Let's take an example, and that will make life easy, you know. So let's say, for example, that they are. Now the father passed away, right? And now you must remember you got the wife, and you got, say, for example, 3 daughters, and you got 2 sons. We just make that a case study, right? So you can write it down there, so it make it easy for you also. So husband passes away, and he left a wife, right? And he left 3 daughters. And then he left 2 sons. So now, after that whole introduction, burial, funeral expenses, deaths of the deceased, wasiya to bequeath for non-heirs, maximum 1/3, all that is done. Now we come to the shares of the heirs. So the shares of the heirs will be as follows. That is, that now you will say that for the wife is 12.5%. And then there are 3 daughters. So you must remember each one of them will also get 12.5%, 12.5%, 12.5%. So when you put these 4 women together, the wife, and that is the mother now for the children, the daughter with the wife of the deceased. So that's how you should look at it. So the wife of the deceased and his 3 daughters, so each one getting 12.5%. So and there are 4, so it's 50%. and then you get the sons, two sons, and they get 25%. So that is how you reach the 100% very, very easily. Now, these sons and these daughters, they say, no, let us do it this way. How many we are? Leave mother out. Now, the children are discussing. Leave mother out, she must get a 12.5%. Now, we are here. So, how many we are? So, we are three daughters and we are two sons. And it's 87.5%. So, now we want to do it equally. Everybody will get the same share between us. In that remainder residue, 87.5%. So the question now arises, is that permissible? Yes, it is permissible, with one big one, with some conditions. So first condition must be all the A's who are doing this must be sane. You can't have an A who's insane, because now we don't know whether you give consent or not. Second one, all the A's must be baligh, they must be mature. You can't speak for children, minors, no, you can't. So remember, so in the case of a person who's insane, a person in the case who is a minor, so you must give them their full share, as I just mentioned now. There, the daughters, 12.5, 12.5, 12.5, and the sons, 25%. But we say all the heirs are sane, or all the heirs are mature. And third condition, this is very big condition, it must be done between bil qalb. It must be done wholeheartedly, not there's some coercion, you're putting the gun at the head of a person, or you brought one big mufti sahab and Maulana sahab or Qazi sahab or some big politician or somebody who will now apply duress and coercion, and that's haram, all that's not permissible. So if they all reach a mutual agreement, amicable agreement, and they are sane and mature, so then it will be permissible and acceptable. In our Islamic jargon, Islamic technical terms, we call this mimbabi sulhi. So then we'll say all the heirs, they just made sula and they reach a mutual amicable agreement. And they must just inform, you must remember the person who's the executor. And executor can be an A also, Islamic, there is no problem. One of the sons can be an executor, or the daughter can be the executor. So remember that, you tell him that, or her, that this is what we agreed, and everybody, and he must go and ask to verify and confirm, are all of you all happy with this and so forth, because the daughter's shares will increase and the son's share will be decreasing. And they say, yes, it's fine, so then there's no problem, it's permissible.
Mufti Saab, we find that the common practice of today is when someone passes away, then the heirs get together and they say, whoever wants to take anything from the house, they can take it. Is this permissible?
Remember that when the heirs just say, you can take this, again the same story comes. You can't just take the clothing or the shoes or whatever and just go give it out to the poor people and say, then no, the marhum will get sawab and reward. Not permissible that. So the A's must be there and they have to give consent and so forth. And again, the same law will apply, that they must be sane and mature. Children and minors, their consent is not considered as consent. A person who's insane, so their consent is not considered as consent and permission. So same law will apply. So those A's who gave permission, then from their share, we will deduct all that amount. And those A's who are minors or those A's who are insane, they must receive their full share and so forth. And even if they gave permission, it will not constitute permission. So we can't just do that unilaterally and just start giving things away. Yes, all the A's are sane and mature, and then you say whatever you want, take, we all agree and so forth. You can take the clothes, you can take this, you can take that, and so forth. And then, you know, the daughter is there, or sister, whatever you want to call her, daughter of the deceased, or sister of the sibling. So now you say, okay, the jewelry she can take, and so forth. As long as there is mutual agreement, amicable agreement, and they gave permission from the bottom of their heart, willingly, there's no duress, coercion, then only it will be permissible. And again, I'm reiterating that people who are insane or minors, remember, even if they give permission, that will not mean that consent is given. They must receive their full share.
Mufti Saab, what happens if a person passes away with an un-Islamic will?
When a person passes away and his or her will is un-Islamic, Now, here there are two, three different things we must understand. So when that person comes and approach me, he says that we see my father's world, mother's world is un-Islamic. So this is what we tell them and we tell all the heirs and executor. Let that will go through to the master and to the government and all the relevant departments so to expedite the winding up of the estate. Otherwise, it's going to take people going to contest it and so forth, go to court, you'll have to get attorneys and advocates, and all that will cost you so much money. So all of you agree, let the ball and let it continue, let this thing continue. That is for legal purposes. But among ourselves, we will have a redistribution done, and the redistribution will be done according to the Sharia in light of Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah. And when all of them agree to that, so that's fine. But we must remember the testator, the person who drew up that will, he has committed a major, major sin. And Surah 4, verse 14 will be applying and be applicable. يُدْخِلُهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. The person goes to Jahannam for a very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For such a person is humiliating, disgraceful punishment. But you must remember, if Allah Ta'ala's fazl, Allah Ta'ala's his prerogative, إِنْ شَاءَ فَأَنْهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَذَّبَهُ. If he wants, he can forgive him. And if he wants, he can punish him. But this is what Quran is teaching us. So he has died and passed away guilty of perpetrating, committing a major, major sin, because he drew up that will deliberately, intentionally against the Sharia. Now the same thing goes with our accountants and our CAs and our lawyers and our Maulanas or Muftis or so, that when they draw up the will, then because that person is his friend or whatever, say, no, you can do this, you can do this. But deep down, you know you are usurping somebody's share. You are increasing somebody's share, or you are decreasing, or worse than that, you are disowning somebody. When you disown that son of yours, daughter of yours, wife of yours doesn't get anything. So remember, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man qata'a miratha warithihi, qata'a Allahu miratahu min al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. Go open Mishkat Sharif, the last hadith there on this chapter. Whosoever deprives the heir, you decrease their share, you deprive them totally, completely, you disown them, so Almighty Allah will deprive you or that person who did that of his share or her share of Jannah and on the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, that the share he is supposed to get in paradise, Allah will deprive him and said, no. You usurp the right of your brother, your sister, your whoever, and now there is no Jannah for you. So look at the consequences always. And therefore we say we must have a redistribution done, and the redistribution, remember, will be done according to Sharia. And in a case like this, even he, the executor, must push for that. And must emphasize that point, that we must have a redistribution done that is according to the Sharia, and not just willy-nilly and say this one will take this, this one will take this. You have to ensure that everyone is sane, mature, and everyone is happy and pleased, and they give consent wholeheartedly.
Mufti Saab, if a person deliberately did not leave behind a will,
same thing happens. Remember, in legal jargon, you call that intestate. So when a person passes away intestate, South Africa, any country, so then the law of the land will take place, the law of succession. What they call it in legal jargon, the law of succession, the law of inheritance. So if you're in South Africa, South African law will take. You're in England, so that law will take place. You're in Pakistan, the Pakistani law. You are in Dubai, that Emirates law. So there's no Islamic law, basically. Remember that. They will just give you this, this, and all. So remember that in a case like that, so there's serious, serious consequences. The Mawan, the person passed away, and he didn't bother to make a will, so that's a sin already. Then remember that the heirs, all the thing it will be, now it will have to go to the master, and they take 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. I know of cases where the estate is still not winded up. 20, 25, 30 years have passed since that person passed on and so forth. So let the legal side go on. But among yourselves, you must have the heirs and the heir, the executor and the heirs must have the agreement that we are making a redistribution, and the redistribution must be done according to the Sharia and Islamic law.
Mufti Saab, if an Islamic organization says that there's no need to oppose the governments for applying a non-Islamic distribution, because the Muslim heirs, they'll still share the Islamic way, is the statement
valid? Speak loud, Maulana. I couldn't hear you properly. What's the question?
An Islamic organization says that there's no need to oppose the governments for applying a non-Islamic distribution of the world, because the Muslim
is... We're not interested in organizations or this person or that person and so forth. We know in South Africa what happened. You must remember, I'm sitting here in a masjid in Hausa, mashallah, and now in 2 minutes or so, our program will finish. So who are the people who closed the masjid? Who are the people, you must remember, who closed the masjid and went to court? Who are the people who joined the lesbians and so forth? So if organizations like that, remember, they say, no, there's no need to oppose the government on these issues and that. We say, no, that you got no stay, you got no standing at all, because you already showed that what type of traitors you all are. That you all closed the masjid, you all went to court, you all went as friends of the court, you went as friends of the court on that issue of closing the masjid, you went again as friends of the court to join the lesbians, and now you want to tell us that no. No, we will fight it tooth and nail. And remember, we will get our lawyers, we will get our advocates, whatever. Even if we say that there's no chance really of victory, so you will say, what is the benefit? Quran says, ma'aziratan ila rabbikum. What mean ma'aziratan ila rabbikum? Ya Allah, in our circumstances, whatever we could do, we tried our level best. So then such people, inshallah, Allah will not punish. But those who promote the vices, those who justify the price of the vices and the wrong, you know what Quran said, that for the Jutlas and the Jews at that time, that they were playing with the Sabbath. فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Allah Ta'ala transformed them, and a complete metamorphosis took place, and they became despicable monkeys. So therefore, it is Maulanas or Muftis or politicians or ABC or whoever. We're not interested in all this. You tell us what is the Sharia. So whatever is the Sharia, that is what we have to implement. And whatever obstacles are there, so we get our ulama, we get our muftis, we get our seniors, we get legal counsel, we get senior counsel, and mashallah, that how many a time, you must, even last night and this morning, people were asking me that what happened, you must remember you were sued and all that, you know, that 10 million, and then they say, alhamdulillah, that with Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah's help comes. It's not we. When you want to defend the Sharia, Allah Jalla Wala will protect you min kulli su'in wa makruh, and Allah will decimate and destroy the enemies, ka'in and mankan, whoever it is. Subarakallahu fikum wa zaid. Inshallah, you have prepared the podcast and send it to me, and then sometime in the afternoon, we will send it out. You can mention all the programs that will come on now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our Mufti Saab from Den Hausel and giving us this interesting program. And from us and the team, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.